Now I beheld in my dream that they had not journeyed far, but the river and the way for a time parted, at which they were not a little sorry, yet they durst not go out of the way. Now the way from the river was rough, and their feet tender by reason of their travels. So the souls of the pilgrims were much discouraged because of the way. Wherefore still, as they went on, they wished for a better way. Now a little before them, there was on the left hand of the road a meadow, and a stile to go over into it, and that meadow is called Bypath Meadow. Wonder, is that where you are tonight? Are you in Bypath Meadow? Were you saved at one point in your life, and you know you were saved? You have no doubts about it. But for some reason or other, you've drifted away from the Lord. And tonight finds you in Bypath Meadow. It's very easy to end up in Bypath Meadow. And the devil will provide the stile for you to go over into the meadow. Now, when we say stile, we're not talking about being fashionable and trendy. Not talking about being stylish. Spelt a different way. S-T-I-L-E. But the stile really speaks of temptation. The bait. The carrot that the devil dangles in front of you to get you off the narrow way, to get you into Bypath Meadow and to lead you astray. Do you know, as I read it afresh today, this portion of the Pilgrim's Progress, one thing stood out to me. There were two pilgrims, and one led the other astray. I want you to get that tonight, friends. One of the pilgrims led the other one astray. You be careful that you're not led astray by someone else. It might be a family member. And as far as you're concerned, they're the best Christian you could meet. And they've got it, and they've it all sussed and worked out, and they're following the Lord full steam. And as far as you're concerned, they are a model Christian. Beware, they don't lead you astray. Isn't it very interesting, and isn't it peculiar, let's say, that it was Christian who led Hopeful astray? Now, you say, what's so important about that? Well, simply this. He was on the way longer than Hopeful. He was saved longer than Hopeful. You remember that we looked at Vanity Fair and how Faithful died in Vanity Fair. He gave his life for Christ at Vanity Fair. And Hopeful was standing in the crowd watching the martyr as he died. And Hopeful was inspired to start following Christ and to start on the narrow way for the celestial city. So he's just saved a short time. And here's the other man, Christian. He's saved a long time. But yet it's him who leads the young Christian astray. Now that's very strange, isn't it? And it teaches us this. That no matter how long we're saved, we can go astray. I want you to understand that tonight. You could be saved 50 years and lead somebody astray. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. None of us are invincible. So friends, let's just take stock and pray for grace that the Lord would keep us, that the Lord would hold us up, because if he doesn't hold us up, we will fall down. And if he doesn't keep us in the narrow way, then we'll go astray into Bypath Meadow. So what I'm really getting at the beginning of this little study tonight is, beware lest somebody lead you astray. Is there somebody in your life who's trying to lead you astray right now? Could that be the case? Is there somebody who's saying to you, don't go to that church? Is there somebody who's trying to get you away to another church? Is there somebody trying to lead you away and they're whispering in your ear and they're telling you that you need to get out? Somebody's trying to get you up onto that stile and trying to get you across into Bypath Meadow. Now, it's like this, isn't it? That other person is already there. They're already in Bypath Meadow. Could it be that some of us tonight are being influenced by someone who has gone away from the Lord, somebody who has drifted away from the Lord, somebody who is already backslidden and has turned their back on the truth? I mean, the simple truth of the Bible, the simple truth of the gospel. Is there somebody in your life, in your family, in your circle of friends, your work colleagues, somebody that you rub shoulders with, somebody you have contact with, and they're trying to take you into Bypath Meadow? Friend, this message tonight is a warning to you. Now, the Lord wants you to wake up and smell the coffee, and the Lord wants you just—it's just like tonight. You know the rugby players. Whenever the rugby players get a bit of a bang and they're kind of concussed and dazed, what happens? Well, the physio runs onto the pitch and he's got his smelling salts, and he'll just sort of hold the smelling salts under the nose of the player to kind of revive him and to sort of sharpen him and to get him back to his senses again. Well, friends, maybe the Lord's coming tonight with his smelling salts, and he's coming tonight with a wake-up call for somebody in the meeting tonight, just to be careful that you don't end up in Bypath Meadow. Maybe it's me. Maybe the Lord is speaking to me tonight, and maybe the Lord is saying to me, be careful. You need to beware. Yes, it was the fate of these two pilgrims that they ended up in Bypath Meadow. Bad enough that one of them should go there, but I mean for the both of them to go there, that was a catastrophe. But that's what happened. Let's think of it, why they ended up in Bypath Meadow. We're going to talk tonight about feet. I'm going to just sort of hang the message tonight on feet, because there's, first of all, sore feet. Do you ever have sore feet? I think we all at times have had sore feet. Well, the pilgrims, they've got sore feet. That's what Bunyan tells us. They were discouraged because the way was rough. They had just been to the River of Life, and they had a mountaintop experience. But now, all of a sudden, things take a nosedive, and it's different from that. Do you ever find that in the Christian life? Or maybe that's a silly question, because of course you do. Yeah, you've got the mountaintop experiences, and the Lord seems very near. You can understand His Word. You have liberty in prayer, but then suddenly things change. And it's not so easy anymore to be a Christian. And it's tough. That's what the pilgrims find. The road becomes very, very rugged, and their feet become sore. It's just like the children of Israel. You can read about them in Numbers chapter 21 after the Lord brought them out of Egypt. It tells us that they were much discouraged because of the difficulty of the way. And the pilgrims were discouraged. You know, whenever we're discouraged and whenever we're down, then that's when the devil is ready to pounce. He waits for a time whenever we're weak. And then he presents Bypath Meadow. So just take a wee look over there on the far side. Suppose we would say today the grass is greener on the other side. Look over there at Bypath Meadow. The devil won't call it Bypath Meadow. He'll just tell you, over there's a lot easier, the path smoother. You should be over there. Why are you putting yourself through all this when you could just cross over that stile and just walk along the other side of the fence. Beware when Satan comes. Sore feet. Spiritually speaking, we often have sore feet. It's not an easy road to heaven. If it's easy for us tonight, then we should just stop and just consider whether we're living for the Lord, whether we're taking a stand for the Lord. But no matter how sore our feet get, or no matter how sore the feet of Bunyan's pilgrims got, or no matter how sore the feet of the Israelites got, their feet and our feet will never experience what the feet of our blessed Lord Jesus experienced. Because we read in Psalm 22 of his pierced feet. They pierced my feet, Jesus said. Luke chapter 24, when the Savior met with his disciples after he had risen from the dead, and he came to the upper room, he met with them, and you know what it tells us? He showed them what? His feet. He showed them his feet. Friends, in the midst of our discouragement tonight, in the midst of our trials tonight, let's consider the Lord Jesus and his pierced feet. And let's remember what he went through for us. And let's consider him, as Hebrews tells us, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be faint and wearied in our minds. So the two pilgrims had sore feet. But then sadly that led to straying feet. Their feet strayed. We have read tonight that verse, our text, Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The two pilgrims cross over, and they think that there are two ways to heaven. Now get that. I mean, that has to be their logic. They're on the one side of the fence, but they look over into Bypath Meadow, and there's a path just running along the edge of the meadow. And so they say to themselves, well, I mean, what's the difference? Let's cross over and walk on the other side. So really what they were saying was that there was two ways to heaven, two ways to the celestial city. Well, friends, right away, that should have caused the alarm bells to start ringing, because there are not two ways to the celestial city. And you know as well as I do that there is but one way to that city. There is only one way to heaven. And you all know what Jesus said in John 14. I am the way. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a lot of people today who find that verse very hard to swallow. And we live in a day and generation whenever it's all about coexisting. All religions can exist together. And no faith or no set of beliefs is better than another. All roads lead to God. Well, straight away, that's a lie from the devil, a lie from the pit of hell. And just let's beware that we don't believe the devil's lie. And if anyone comes to you and says, oh, well, there's different ways to the Lord, there's different ways to reach heaven, and you've got your way and I've got mine, but at the end of the day, we'll meet in heaven. If that's what they say to you, don't believe them. And you'll be able to put them right and to set them straight and to tell them, not what you say, but what Jesus says, that he alone is the way. But the two pilgrims, they end up in Bypath Meadow because they've swallowed the devil's lie and they've believed this falsehood that there's two ways to the city. So they cross over the stile and now they begin to walk in Bypath Meadow.
And they're on the slippery slope. You know, there are a whole lot of people who are on the slippery slope tonight. And in fact, there's a whole lot of people who have just gone right into the middle of Bypath Meadow. And they're full-blown backsliders tonight. What should be our attitude to such people? Shame on you, the apostate. You should be ashamed of yourself. Don't you come near the church. We don't want the likes of you in our church. Is that the attitude we should take? Not at all. Not at all. Do you know the heart of the Lord Jesus goes out to those who are backslidden? To those tonight who are in Bypath Meadow? Our great high priest is full of compassion for those who are in Bypath Meadow. It tells us, in fact, in Hebrews chapter 5, that this great high priest is full of compassion on them that are out of the way. That's what the words are. I've read it verbatim, word for word. He has compassion on them that are out of the way. Just like the pilgrims who got out of the way, so the Lord tonight has compassion for those who are out of the way. And you know, dear friends, we ought to have compassion for them too. I know that some of you, dear friends, tonight, your hearts are breaking for some loved one who's backslidden. And maybe there's more than one. And I just want to encourage you tonight to keep praying. I want to encourage you tonight that the Lord is the good shepherd who goes after that sheep that has gone astray. One of my favorite Old Testament chapters is Ezekiel 34. The description there is of a shepherd who says that he will seek out and search for his sheep. There's no shepherd like him. And even tonight, that great shepherd, that chief shepherd, is seeking for that loved one of yours, that dear one of yours who has gone astray. And one day I want to assure you that the good shepherd will bring them back into his fold. Now, I can't bring them back into the fold. In fact, maybe I would turn them the other way. You might do the same. It's not up to us. It's not our work. It's the Lord. Do you know in the Old Testament the Lord said, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. It's the Lord who does the work. So we find the two pilgrims, first of all, they've got sore feet. And then they've got straying feet. Let me finish tonight with slipping feet. Slipping feet. Because the two of them come to their senses, but by then it's almost too late. Because they find that they're caught in a storm, and there's a flood, and they're nearly drowned, nearly washed away, and their feet begin to slip. Psalm 73, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. Psalm 94, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. We're not going to touch on it tonight, but the good news is that the two pilgrims get out of Bypath Meadow. And they get back onto the narrow way again. And that's the encouragement I want to leave with you tonight. I know that you're discouraged and your heart is broken because of your loved ones, because of that individual who's currently in Bypath Meadow. But take heart tonight, because that pilgrim that has gone astray, the Lord is able to bring them back out of Bypath Meadow. He's able to bring them back out of the devil's territory, and he's able to bring them back across the stile and back onto the old path again. Keep praying for them. I wonder, as we finish tonight,
Is there someone here in the meeting? I know that we mentioned it at the start of the message, but let me just mention it again at the end of the message. Is there someone in the meeting tonight, and you would have to admit that you're in Bypath Meadow? Your relationship with the Lord is not what it should be. The fellowship that you once enjoyed with Him is not what it should be. Your communion with Him is not what you want it to be. And it's because perhaps you've become careless in the quiet time. I'm speaking to myself just as much as anybody here. Perhaps we have become careless when it comes to the prayer meeting. Perhaps we have become careless with regard to witnessing. We don't speak about Christ anymore. We don't take the opportunities that He presents to us anymore. Friends, we all tonight have to take a good hard look at ourselves and ask ourselves the question, perhaps have we put our foot on that stile that leads to Bypath Meadow? Have we stepped over into Bypath Meadow? Or are we right down in the middle of that meadow somewhere? The good news is that you're in God's house tonight, and the Lord has brought you here for a purpose. And the Lord has been speaking to you tonight, and He has made it clear tonight that He's able to bring you back again. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Let's pray. Father, we just want to take a moment at the end of this service and at the end of your day to pray for those who are in Bypath Meadow. To pray, Lord, for our nearest and dearest who, Lord, have wandered away from you. And Lord, we cannot bring them back. We just find it utterly impossible to bring them back. But Lord, we pray for them, and we hand them over to you tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd, and there's no shepherd like you. And so we just pray humbly that, Lord, you will just seek and search out those who have wandered, those who have left the narrow way. And tonight, Lord, they've gone up some alley, and Lord, they've gone into some tangent. And they have gone far away from the simplicity that is in Christ. We just pray, Lord, that you would draw them back. Restore them, O Lord, we pray. And should there be anyone in our meeting tonight, Lord, who has drifted and have wandered, we just thank you that you're full of compassion. And Lord, we thank you that your grace and your mercy is able to bring them back into the way again. So, Lord, answer prayer, we pray. We thank you for your lovely Spirit, and we just pray that He will do His work, because it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.